These are just pretty standard to closing. You know, what does the document say? Of course, that was control of the deal. Subordinate lien. So this is important to a lender. If you're representing the lender, you can request that all the subordinate liens be listed in leases if they're of record. And so that has to be requested. There's not a charge for it, and they will list them. And if I'm a lender, I'd like to know what they found out there and what's subordinate. Of course, the lender always wants protection for validity, enforceability, and priority. And this really deals with priority. B9 is not important. 10 is really the one you want to get to, because that's what's going to be specifically applicable to your transaction. Rights of parties in possession can be deleted by a good survey or inspection. Visible and apparent easements kind of goes with the parties in possession. Our survey should take care of those things. Don't let the title company come back with a very broad general exception that doesn't really identify anything specifically, because the rules prohibit that. The only broad general exception that is allowed is for minerals, and that is under P5.1, and that is typical. It is permitted just because of title insurance doesn't really assure who owns the minerals. If you want protection against mineral production or exploration, you can get the comprehensive endorsement, which will do that for you. But that is the only real broad exception that is allowed. If the plat creates exceptions, it should be shown. All of these should be shown. The last item here, as shown on survey, of course, there's some controversial litigation a while back. But as a lawyer for the borrower or lender, if there is an easement or a concern, I would want the reference to survey that shows that. And the title companies will work with you on language that they'll agree to. Of course, Schedule C is what has to be done to close. It's pretty much authority. Do I have the right people? Is the entity, if there's an entity, is it in good standing? All of the pretty much, you know, that there are no other parties in possession or anybody out there. So this really comes in when there's a foreclosure situation. Have all the taxes been paid? Legal access is mentioned down here. I just want to point that out, because legal access is covered by a title insurance policy. But that legal access is not always the convenient vehicular access that you want. And there is a T23 endorsement that will provide that. So if I'm dealing with an office building or a shopping center or strip center that has multiple points of access on a particular roadway, or even a storage building, the like, you know, that's something I'm going to want. I'm going to survey, and I'm going to want to get coverage for that particular point of access. Schedule D, again, is a disclosure. In the interest of time, I'm going to run past that. So endorsements, again, I mentioned to you, I have provided for you three different appendices dealing with endorsements to kind of let you see what's common. Translate ALTA to Texas, and then some of the affirmative coverages that are available. So all of that is in the appendix for your use. Most folks that are dealing with property are going to want they're going to want the comprehensive or the T19 or T19.1, which is restrictions, encroachments, and minerals. They're probably going to want coverage for access, and they're going to want coverage for contiguity if we have more than one tract that we're buying. So all of that is in the appendix available for you, as is the list of endorsements, kind of a translator for you there in appendix 4. Other common endorsements deal with minerals, as I mentioned. I mentioned access, so those are all I just talked about. Pretty much most transactions, if there's an improvement on the property with multiple points of access or a specific access, I'm going to get that T23. Lenders also want coverage for revolving credit, future advances. If there's going to be mezzanine lending, we want to make sure there's not going to be an imputation of knowledge, or if there's going to be a transfer to an investor group that has some of the same people in it. And then, of course, multiple collateral. We can get endorsements for that. One of the endorsements I really do recommend in this situation is called the T14. It doesn't rely, it doesn't require a default. If there's a defect in title on one of the pieces of collateral and you have that T14, the title insurance company will take steps to cure that collateral without there being a default on the loan. There's also an aggregation endorsement if we're working with properties in other states. Express insurance is less and less available, but ask for it. If you think you need it, there's only limited situations, and the title insurance underwriter will explain to you whether or not you want that. Arbitration, you know, there's lots of personal arguments, I guess different arguments about whether arbitration is good or bad. I tend to want it deleted because I can always agree to it later, but some folks want that up front. Update, do make sure as you get close to closing that you get that you keep that commitment current, particularly since, as we know, there's delays now between the clerk's offices getting documents to the plants and getting those and allowing documents to be posted. So we really want to stay on top of what is the current. So let's get into the survey. Review of the survey is, again, that's our eyes out there on the ground. You know, the title company is looking at deed records and court records and the like, but our eyes out there on the ground is our surveyor. And our surveyor needs to identify for us what's out there, but also they need to identify any easements, you know, power lines, pipes, and they need to identify everything that's in our commitment. So Appendix C has a checklist for you that will kind of assist you in reviewing a survey. This is just a question out of a lawsuit, and I think the answer is yes. You can take a minute to look at that, but I'm not going to read it out to you because it just make your head spin. But we don't have so much of the quadrant system in Texas, but we do in West Texas.